Plot twists. We are obsessed with them. In film, life, and love, they turn up everywhere. It's that moment in a story that takes you in an unexpected direction. I'm Tom, super fan of cinema, sport, comedy, and I'm partial to the odd impression. And throughout this series, brought to you by Now and Sky, I'll be interviewing TV and film stars, asking them all about the plot twist moments that define their lives and careers. So expect the unexpected, and hopefully some behind-the-scenes gems you've never heard before. Expect spoilers. It's good to mix things up. Have a little change. You know, we've had a lot of great actors and actresses so far in 2024. No denying that. But I feel like we need a singer. And we've got a sensation from Atlanta, Georgia. Born Jayton Dimmesdale, although some of you may know him better by his stage name, Teddy Swims. He burst onto the scene. On the 10th anniversary of Michael Jackson's death in 2019, Teddy releases a tribute cover, MJ's Rock With You. Great song. And it blows up. And more incredible covers followed. I'm talking Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, Chris Stapleton's Tennessee Whiskey, and Shania Twain's You're Still the One, which, by the way, has almost 160 million views on YouTube. Yeah, that's the level we're talking about here. It's kind of hard to think of another artist in recent times who's blown up quite like this guy. And following that success with all those YouTube covers, of which there are many, he then signs a record deal with Warner Records. And last year, his debut album, I've Tried Everything But Therapy, arrives. And my goodness, it's good. Going into any interview, you do your research, you look at previous interviews, and I really like this description in one particular article. Earthquaking vocals and a swaggering style. Music that blends genres including R&B, soul, country and pop. Earthquaking vocals, I love that. His voice is raspy, it's rich, it's soulful. And if you have a Skyglass TV with its spine-tingling Dolby Atmos speakers, you could listen to the man himself via Spotify or YouTube. You're going to add a lot more soul to your house, that's all I'm going to say. Now, Teddy doesn't look like what you'd expect. He has quite a lot of tattoos, a few on his face, a bit of a Post Malone kind of look. So it was interesting to talk about that. And part of the reason why we were chatting is that he's going to be touring the UK in May and early June, London, Birmingham, Manchester, Glasgow, Dublin for Irish friends. I don't think there are many tickets left. There may be some available via some reselling sites if you really want to go and see him. He is amazing. And I would say that because I'm a big fan. What can I say? And I made that very clear in the interview. So here it is, the tenacious and talented Teddy Swims on Plot Twist. 25th of June, 2019, you pay tribute to Michael Jackson with Rock With You, and you do a cover on YouTube, and your life, after that blows up almost immediately, your life has never been the same since. And me saying here, I've been following you pretty much ever since. So I want the listeners to know, I want you to know, that I'm one of the old school guys. You know, I've been here for a while. Yeah. I've been sharing your music, I've been telling people about you. I just want to give you your flowers, man, because you've just, there's new levels you keep reaching. It's just, it's so cool to see.
Man, I thank you so much for that. Yeah, and I mean, you know, speaking of the name, that did just change my life. You know, I was in bands and stuff before that, and I had no idea that moment would really turn us into doing a whole bunch of covers and kind of starting Teddy Swims and not being, I guess, as a solo artist, rather, you know, but it really changed my life, man. It really... so profound in my life what happened there. God, it's been a crazy 4 or 5 years, whatever damn year it is.
I was going to ask you though, is that something that you reflect on? Because I feel like society, we're always looking forward. We're always thinking about what's next, what's the next level I can reach. But do you look back at the last 5 years and the journey and think, like, damn, that's pretty special. You know, what an exciting time.
You know, I try my best too now, and I try to now find the healthy balance between looking back and trying to celebrate those wins that we have, and because I feel like, you know, we can get so focused on the future, you know, that we just, like, you don't even really look back until you say that, and I'm like, oh, damn, yeah, man, wow. Lots changed since then, and trying to celebrate and trying to look back and be proud of things, and so I'm trying to be better about that for sure.
You should be proud. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Because even like recently, like the appearance on Graham Norton and Jennifer Hudson, like even last year with Kelly Clarkson, it's just like these new heights. And I was thinking it's, in sporting terms, I guess it's like a boxer kind of fighting his way to the title and like going up the levels, like climbing the ranks. And it's like, you're never going to replicate those firsts again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's, man. That
makes it exciting.
Yeah, you have to enjoy those while you can. And I would do, Graham Norton was so sick, dude. He's like the coolest guy. It was so neat. Like just absolute cartoon character. I had a blast. And I mean, singing with Kelly Clarkson was just out of this world. She's such an amazing, amazing person and singer and one of the best in the world, you know? And so I was so thrilled when she was just so excited to have me and was such a fan. And I was like, girl, I'm such a fan. There's no way this is real. You know, and Jennifer Hudson and that, it's quite strange to get those kind of, to get those flowers from people that you love very, very much and very dearly. And, that has been a really cool thing in my life to just continue to meet people that I'm, you know, even just yesterday and all this last week at the Grammys, it was like, oh, dude, it was so neat, man. I ended up last night at Dave Chappelle's party on stage singing with Dave Chappelle. Wow. And I was like, what the heck is going on, man? And he's tattooed on the side of my leg, you know? And so I told him, I was like, Dave, man, you're like really tattooed on my inner thigh right here, man. It's just so insane I keep getting these chances to meet people I love. And also so wonderful when they're exactly who you want them to be too, you know what I mean? And they're nicest, most wonderful people, because you never know when somebody's going to be like a dick. And it's so great when you meet a Dave Chappelle, your hero that you have a tattoo of, and he's just exactly what you want him to be. And he's just like exactly the nicest, most beautiful person. I was just like, thank God, man. Thank God.
That's so cool. Imagine being with your buddies and say, oh, what did you go to last night? Oh, I was just with Dave Chappelle, you know, just had a little sing on stage, you know?
It was sick, man. We had a blast.
That's crazy. I'm going to come on to some plot twist questions. I've got to talk about the album, and I know you're touring the UK and everything. But before that, I thought, talking about your life before the kind of YouTube blow up, before you release Rock With You and the Stapleton cover and Shania Twain, all those amazing songs you did. If your life is like a opening credits to a movie, what's it like with Atlanta, Georgia and that life growing up for you? How does that look?
Man, you know, I think probably played by like Jonah Hill or something.
I love that.
I really have to thank my dad, man, because growing up in Georgia, he really kind of put me on music, brought me up, and he was the one that told me to drop out of, you know, barber school. I was in cosmetology school doing hair and stuff, and my dad really like took me on this trip at 19 to Texas, and we'd go out there every year, and him and his buddies from high school get together and have a big old like party for a weekend. And they stay in touch from all his high school. And our first time out there, I was headed back from Texas with him. It was like a 15-hour drive. And I think the movie starts right there where he tells me to drop out of college. And he's like, son, if you want to sing, man, you just make sure you sing and don't look back. You know, I've worked.
Giving you permission.
Yeah. And I tell this to everybody that ever has a kid that wants to do something and has a dream. It's so special to know that what you want to do and what you want to be. And my father was like, you know, I wish I could like take care of you better financially and, you know, do these things. But he's like, I want you to pursue it. You know, I don't want you to be wondering what would happen. And he's like, if you have a backup plan, then you're only going to shoot yourself in the foot, son. You need to just drop out of college. You need to go for it. And getting that permission was like the most valuable, powerful thing that could have ever happened.
Oh, so powerful. So powerful, because like also the thing is like not every parent is going to encourage their kid to go down the route that you did, because it's competitive, it's tough, it's, you don't know, not many people know that world.
And again, I was like, just in that time too, I was like in metal band, so it's like, I don't know why he would tell me to pursue it like that, because shit, I'd probably be like, you can make it that way, you know, in metal and stuff, but I'd have probably told that the same thing to my son. But I'd be like, maybe being like a shitty hardcore band is not going to be the way you're going to, you know, you'll make a living, but you're not going to be near as like successful, you know? And I mean, of course I love that type of music and I still scratch that itch, but the type of music I was doing at the time definitely was not, it wouldn't have sustained me in five guys with a well off life, you know?
Yeah. Your voice has been described as a raspy angel, which I quite like.
I love to hear that.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. I wondered when was the first time you had a reaction to you singing and it was a kind of standout moment? Because I guess from what I've heard is like singing wasn't actually the big goal initially. You were into your football and your family had a very religious background and that wasn't actually the first thing that you were looking at. But there must have been a reaction to kind of kickstart that chain, right?
Yeah, me and my best pal, Jesse, who plays guitar in my band still, and I've known forever. His dad was in bands, and Jesse was always playing guitar. And we'd get off the bus, we'd go back to each other's house, and on MySpace, we'd have found all these bands, you know, on MySpace.
Yeah.
Like, and between, like, the top eights of some other bands that you'd go and find, you know. And, and so we'd just have, like, we'd show each other these bands we were looking at, like, yo, have you heard them? You heard them? And we'd do that all the time, and we try to jam and try to write songs and try to sing. And I mean, we weren't good at all at first. It wasn't good. So it wasn't ever like, it was like a, all of a sudden one day I just realized I could sing. We were quite bad for a good bit of time, you know? And I always say I'm grateful for the gift that I have, but I think the gift is like the urgency and like the desire to like the burden to want to do this and pursue this and get amazing at it. But I don't think it's like, I don't think you just get gifted with an amazing, well, some people maybe, but it didn't come as natural to me as you might think it would. I loved it. I loved it doing it so much. And so we used to go get dropped off at the movie theater even. And at the cinema and my mom would probably give me like $20. And instead of going to watch the movie, we just kind of sit outside and sing and walk around, you know, and keep that $20 for, you know, what other 15-year-olds go do with that $20, you know.
So
it's all because of Jesse Hampton, man, and his family too. And his sister got us into musical theater, and his dad was like the first guy I really saw play guitar and sing. And they're just so cool, and their family was really music based, you know. And I knew I wanted to do that so badly.
How old were you when you started to think, actually, this is the career, I've got to follow this up?
I think I was about 15 when I really got into theater, and because I think my second year of high school, I finally decided I was not going to play football anymore, and I was going to pursue musical theater or just singing in general and like being in bands. And I wanted to sing. Like, theater really changed my life as far as like getting in front of people and singing and understanding like how to sing with people and understanding harmony and I guess acting and singing at the same time. It really moved.
Yeah,
I think singing is like about 80% acting. Really, I would always say that because I think it's a lot more of emotionally trying to put yourself in the position that you were in when you wrote that song or when you hear that song. But I had also had just such a great, great teacher like Pete Houghton, man, Chris Hall, and my dears, Lene Rose was my choir teacher, and just like they really taught me a lot and kind of raised my voice up with me and helped me out. And, you know, I just kept listening to this. I think soul music really just did a lot for me, too, man. And being in church, too, of course, has stretched me a lot when I was coming up. And like a Pentecostal church when I was a kid. So it definitely definitely gave me a lot of gospel music. Definitely gave me a lot of things in my life, too, I would say.
Yeah. I heard you saying a bit of Al Green, a bit of Boyz II Men.
Yeah, baby.
That's
all, man. That's all because my dad, too.
That's so cool. I'll come back to that because I want to talk to you about like the science of singing that you've spoken about and actually understand the technicalities of it. But before we do, going to like the main plot twist in your life. I mean, we've already discussed a few instances that could probably count as that. But if I had to ask you about that most unexpected life-changing plot twist that changes your story, what's the big one for you, Teddy Swims?
I would say either that when my father told me to drop out of college, I'd say maybe that, or I think it might have been two when I was in the fourth grade, and I went to live with my dad for a bit of time and started the school and went to my cousin's class, and this teacher, Miss Barry, and I always wonder where Miss Barry is and if she's ever heard me tell this story, but
she's listening.
I hope one day like there's a reach out and I can see her, you know where she is, because I was only in her class for like a couple months while I was living with my pops. But she'd say like, you know, everybody, if we get back from recess and we just shut up, don't talk, she'd put on Al Green. And it was like, I realized how everybody would absolutely shut up. Like all these like 8-9-year-olds, you know, and it's like, how do they feel so connected to this music, you know? And so I get back and sure enough, I hear I'm So Tired of Being Alone by Al Green. And I remember it like so vividly. Like, me sitting there with my workbook and like hearing Al Green's voice for the first time, and I'm just being like, whoa, like just floored, absolutely floored by that. I'm so tired of being, and I was just like, what the hell is this? You know, it's like the crazy, and you see all these little kids in there, just like it's like they feel it in their souls. You know, it's crazy to see babies just like feel like they've had such spiritual heartbreak before. It's like hilarious. But I remember going home and talking to my dad about Al Green and how cool it was, and I think, as funny as it is, I think that might have been the first time that I like got introduced to like soul music, and my dad taught me more and more and more about it, and like showed me some other things, and it was just like the coolest shit that ever happened to me. It's just, I can still so vividly remember hearing Al Green's voice for the first time, and it changing my absolute life.
Yeah, it's timeless. It's just, yeah, you can't top that. That's just something special. Talk to me, like, I mean, music is a big part of where you're from as well, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And just looking at it's very distinctive there, and the sounds that come out of that place. And I guess I think you're an amalgamation of that, all of that, like the different, you know, the soul and the hip hop and.
Yeah, I'd absolutely say so. And it's quite a melting pot of so much culture and music. And
yeah,
I think the best music ever, like, you know, we have Ray Charles, we had James Brown, Otis Redding, Gladys Knight, all the best country music come out of here. We had hip hop.
CeeLo Green.
Yeah, CeeLo Green, yeah. And Usher and T.I. Yeah. And Young Jeezy and Gucci Mane. And everybody, the list goes on and on and on, yeah, about real culture and beautiful music out here, man. It's insane. And so I'm super grateful to be grown up in the perfect place, I think, for me.
Is it a spirit kind of thing, or is it the kind of production set up in the place that kind of enables that? What do you think that kind of, because that's unusual in there, such a place could have so much talent and such distinctive talent.
I think there is a spirit in it. And I think it's just, once that culture began, I think over the years that this culture just kept on evolving and being in there. You know, it's so neat, man, how thick it is with all walks of life. And I don't know why it would be Atlanta that was that, or just Georgia that being that spot for it. But I think people just had a lot to say, man.
It's kind of like a domino effect, maybe. Like you say, it just kind of knocks on and it just spreads this energy and the spirit that kind of just builds.
Yeah, there's definitely a spirit in Atlanta that's so unique to only itself. You know, I can't go anywhere else where I can get that.
There's a few things that you've said. I like your mantras, what you stand for, and there's you said like failure is your friend and that you should embrace that and try and, you know, go on that journey to try and, you know, build and improve. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, thank you, man. I guess I've definitely got quite a strong compass in my brain that I just believe that you don't learn any way else. You got to fail and you got to love it. And I think all the best things in my life have come with a lot of failure and a lot of loss. I think every win comes with some gigantic loss somehow, you know, and just getting your mind prepared to move forward and not let anything change your heart.
And I guess that's kind of influenced the album. I've tried everything but therapy.
Yeah,
now, I guess everybody asks you the same thing in terms of, have you done therapy yet? And you kind of said, well, not yet, but I'm still getting around to it. But I was thinking, you know, all these interviews, dude, that you're doing, it feels like that's therapy in itself, because you're kind of reminiscing about the past and, you know, about previous experiences. There's something quite nice about that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I get quite a therapeutic job just to be able to just dump all my trauma onto everyone and just strangers all the time. And I'm definitely so lucky to have that. And I think it's necessary. We all have some sort of outlet to get our stuff out, and therapy being probably one of the better ones to do that, you know? So I definitely should. But now I just like yell at strangers on the stage and drink a lot of tequila. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to change that yet, you know? But I'm eventually, you don't have to change that, but you know, eventually I'm going to get around to doing it. And I'm home right now in LA for the next couple months, I'm gonna just kind of get something that's on a, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do therapy. I'm a big advocate of it. I think being able to kind of just talk and open up to somebody who's non-biased and share your thoughts, it's such a powerful thing.
Especially just having somebody, man. There's I find in life too, it's what might be so important about it for everyone is that people you take care of in your life, you know, are there's things like you might not can be 100% honest with everyone on, you know, and
can't agree more.
And I find it being so important to be 100% honest with somebody, at least just have one person that is a non-biased, maybe doesn't have the same friends as you, that you could tell 100% of everything to, you know. And I find that it's like taking your, there's necessary, like, I guess I wouldn't say evils, but necessary things that you would have to kind of withhold truth about, you know, because like, what if, you know, once you take care of a child or something, right? You know, there's certain things you just can't, you know, you tell them Santa Claus exists, you know what I mean? You let the kid believe in magic. You let the kid, there's certain lies you have to tell, I guess, you know what I mean? That don't feel like lies, you know?
But you want to protect people. That's part of it, because they have a vested interest in you. There's a bond, right? And if you have something that's separate from that, then everything is open. There's no comeback.
Yeah, I remember when I was during the pandemic, there was a lot of times we were scared at, like, because after we'd signed Warner, I had to put all my buds on salary, and we couldn't play shows anymore, you know. And so we were all like in a studio and trying to make ways to make money and this still, even after we got signed, and I was now taking care of your, you know, salaries for them, and they all dropped and quit their jobs. And as much as I was so stoked I got to finally do that, you take care of your friends and family, there were times during the pandemic where we were just like, oh shit, I don't think we're gonna make it. I don't think we're gonna be able to pay for, you know, like, but you don't turn that and tell that to the people that you employ, even though they are your best friends since you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like, just, I don't know, we're going to make something's going to happen, man. Somebody's going to call tomorrow, and then some crazy offer is going to come through. Or we just always would try to do our best to just, I keep on telling promises that I don't know how to keep. And you don't lie to the people you love, though. So you just say, kind of, if something happens, whether the universe gets out of the way, let something happen, or maybe you work your ass off to make something happen. Something always happens. And I've never had to go like miss a whole month on those boys or anything like that. You know, they've been played and they've been taken care of. But it's just quite wild to, yeah, you can't be 100% honest with everybody. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And people that you love or that you take care of, there's a balance between certain things. Sometimes you can't say everything all the time.
I was just thinking, though, it's so cool you get to hang out with your buddies like that and build a life together and experience it all.
It's the best thing in the world.
That is just, like, that's the dream in itself.
It is, man, and they're the best. They take such good care of me and love me so much. It's the only way I think you could do it on this journey. It's the only way I could possibly do it without absolutely going crazy or spinning out. You know, they take such good care of me and love me, and they've been my friends since I was like young kid. So they're the best, man. They're the best. And the best damn band on the whole damn planet, too, by the way.
When you said about the challenges, particularly in the pandemic, and wondering, am I going to be able to cover the next month? I guess as part of that journey, have you always believed? Have you always thought, I'm going to get there? I'm going to find a way.
Absolutely, and we're gonna, you know. Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of how we even did we started with the covers in the first place. Like, when we did the covers, it was really like a, hey man, just give us 6 months. The thing went crazy. We can film the stuff. We can record the stuff. We can play the stuff. It's like, obviously, like, let's just give this 6 months, you know? And 6 months, we went from starting that to like moving in a big old house together with like 15 of us and making that damn thing happen in 6 months. And we signed in June 25th, 2019. We started in December 24th of 2019, a day less than 6 months, on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
I was signed to Warner, and it's been, you know, going since then. So I make a bunch of wild promises, but I keep all of them. Over promise, never under deliver. I try to live by.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about the music specifically, you've said that from when you did that first recording, June 25th, 2019, the science of singing, that you've learned more about your voice, and I guess in layman terms, to somebody like myself who wouldn't understand that, what does that mean in the last sort of 4 or 5 years? What have you done to improve in that sense? I mean, it's hard for me to kind of almost see that or hear it, because it's quite
wild. Yeah, when I'd recently, I can't remember who was playing that video, and I recently, like, I kept listening to myself and I'm like, man, I sound so young and different. Like, it's like, you could definitely hear that, so much growth. It's quite nuts, because I don't really, I guess it's been such a slow, gradual gain, though, so that I don't even know that I'd gotten any better or that, like, I had learned new things, you know? But, I mean, I definitely know way more about it than I... It's always those tiny, like, tiny growths, I guess, that really just... You never really notice until... But I am super in love with this instrument, though, and communication in general and how to communicate. And I listen and watch a lot of singers and digest kind of what they're doing and pull it apart and... Because I love this instrument so much, and there's just so many things you can do with it. And when somebody does something that I don't know how to do, I have to be like, God, what? I have to figure out how that they could do that with their mouth. If I can't do it, it's going to drive me crazy. So I love that instrument, man. I love singing and communicating and talking, and I think it's...
It's a hell of an instrument, dude.
Yeah. It really is. And it's the it only really thing is. That's completely yours, you know? It's like nobody else like you. Your voice is just bound by your own... Your own decisions, the weather, whatever it is, however you're feeling, your trauma, your voice is just bound to so many things, and it makes it so yours and unique, and nobody else can sound.
I'm jealous I didn't get to see you busking in Piccadilly when you jumped in there.
Man, that was such a blast. Oh,
what I would have paid to have seen that. I would have paid some serious money to just sit there and embrace that. That would have been pretty damn cool.
Well, we got the rest of our lives, bud.
Hey, I'm gonna try and see you in Bristol. I know you're come playing on, there. Come on, man. Yeah, times,
bring,
so,
bring anybody with you. Sure. Come on out, man.
Oh, we're gonna do it. A lot of people will talk to you about your tattoos. I know you've got the story about your first tattoo, which you had your name, didn't you? Is it
Dimmesdale is my original.
Like the douchiest tattoo you had.
So I don't know why I did that. Yeah, with the cross and my last name in it. Established 1992. It was so bad. So I wouldn't let 16-year-olds get tattooed. I don't know why I did that. That was so stupid. Like 2 years later, I was like, this isn't cool.
Well, you got to mature and develop with it, don't you? But you've got some other ones. Like, so we've got like a tribute. Is it Chris Farley you've got on your leg?
Yeah, I got a Chris Farley on my leg. He's like dressed as Han Solo, though. He's like got the whole Han Solo suit on. And then, you know, of course, I got Chubbs. Man, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. You just passed.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah, I got a picture. I got a picture of Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore when he played that on the back of my leg. And so that really wrecked me up a couple of days ago, man. That really made me feel so sad about that, man. That's probably the biggest loss.
It's such a big part of your... I mean, I'm a huge boxing fan, as you might see behind me. So like with the Rocky story and Apollo and... Yeah, it's all in the hips.
I love Apollo too, man. He's a genius, man. He's such a wonderful. Yeah, I wish I would have died to have met him.
That's full nostalgia. Gilmore. Yeah,
they're like the best movies ever.
Yeah, you're gonna give that shit up. You're gonna concentrate on golf.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you generally quite a big TV and movie fan? It sounds
like it. Yeah, I'm a big comedy fan too, man. That's the only thing I find in my life. And if I'm not singing all the time, I'm watching stand-up comedy specials, like, or just really old comedy movies. I just love, I don't know, I'd love to laugh. Laughing's great. And I think it's such a beautiful thing.
Who's the top sort of stand-up that you'd go? I mean, obviously Chappelle is obviously going to be up there, but who else?
Chappelle is the best of all time, without a doubt. But, man, there's this guy I've been listening to lately. This guy, Shane Gillis. I think he's the best in the world right now. Shane Gillis is absolutely hilarious. He's got this Netflix special called Beautiful Dogs, and I hear him on podcasts all the time, and it's just, I think he's funny. I've seen his stand-up special like 8 times, and cry every time. It's just so funny. He's the best.
Does he do quite a good Trump impression?
Yeah, he does. He sure does.
Yeah, and he does the comparison between Trump and Obama when they announced the death of like some leading terrorist.
Exactly. he's so funny. If you haven't seen that special, bro, you have to go watch that. Beautiful Dogs is incredible.
Okay, yeah, I've seen a few clips. The Trump thing is just incredible. Let me come on to another plot twist question, Teddy. Plot twist person, somebody that unexpectedly has been a source of guidance and inspiration. I imagine there's quite a few, but who stands out as the plot twist people in your life?
I have him right on my ankle as well. And a Diamond Dallas Page, if you're a wrestling fan at all, Diamond Dallas Page was... a massive, massive wrestler, like my childhood hero. He's my favorite. When I was WCW when I was growing up, and I got an opportunity one time 3 or 4 years ago now. Dominique Wilkins hit me up and on Instagram, who's also one of the best basketball players of all time, the human highlight reel himself.
That's epic.
He hit me up on Instagram, one who's like, "Hey man, could you come sing at my birthday party?" So kind of was crazy that. So I went over there, and that's where I met Diamond Dallas Page and met him and played for his birthday. And now we're still so close, man. And that changed my life. And DDP also, like, he has this thing called yoga, you know, this like DDP yoga, and it's like really healing for a lot of people. It's like different calisthenics and yoga, of course, and all these rehabilitation techniques too. And so it's a mix of things that he's kind of created that has gotten people that were hurt back onto the field in like 6 months less. You know, he's really healed a lot of people, man. There's a lot of beautiful stories. And I started working out with him, and he became such a mentor to me and changed my whole perspective on life and helped me lose like 60 pounds when I first did it with him over the pandemic. And
Oh, shit.
he really saved my life, man. I've really changed my life in so many ways. You know, man, taught me to say like you're beautiful to yourself, and like look myself in the mirror when I'm
Yeah, be
actually,
kind.
and when I look at myself in the mirror, and be like, man, I love you. You're doing great, you know, and doing all these things that were just changing your perspective to be good all the time and happy, and watch things come to you as you do, and just own it like there in your brain, you know, own that space. And he really saved my life, man, because he was a wrestler when I was coming up, too. He's my hero. But then later on in life, he's like 65, and he's also saving more lives and by doing a DDP yoga instructing versus being a wrestler. And it's quite insane what one thing could do to. And that really shifted my brain, too, because at the time, my finance guy was like, "Hey, you should put some money in your account for retirement." I was like, well, I don't really care to be here past 65, or know if I'll be here by 65. Like, I don't know why I need to save money. And so meeting DDP was like a real thing where I was like, man, he's 65. He's in great shape. He's like on a whole new life trajectory and doing well. And one day just yoga fell into his lap and he created this. And it just has been the most rewarding thing and healing thing for more people than it was in his first career. And so I was like, hey, you never know when something like that could also be me. Maybe there could be something, and I'm 65, that's like, this is a new passion for you. And I don't know why, I just always thought that I was like, all I ever wanted was singing and, you know, and being in bands. And so I never even thought for a second that there was something else I could do in my life at some other point, you know? And I think it's so, I he really changed my life so much.
That's wild. That's crazy. Especially to have a hero when you're growing up and you always look up to, but then to actually have this kind of a different relationship as adults and an inspiration again.
Yeah,
that's so unique.
It was so beautiful, man. He's just got that time for people. He's just that beautiful of a person, man. He's been such a mentor and a second father to me, and I can't say anything negative about that, man. I don't think anybody on the planet could say anything negative about that, man. He's really just that wonderful of a human.
Yeah, that's cool. You've done some of those covers. I'm a huge fan of, if I could see three people live, it'd be Teddy Swims,
Oh,
Chris
man.
Stapleton, and Paolo Nutini. Those are the three that I
Oh,
want to see.
good list, man. Thank you for adding me to that. I appreciate it.
Oh,
That's a
I've
solid
got to
list
put you
right
on
there,
there.
my dog.
You've obviously started out with some of those covers. Which were the favorite ones for you to do?
For me, Marvin Gaye's up there. Like, I love doing
What's
what's
going
going
on?
on. And Mercy,
Oh,
Mercy Me,
yes.
and those are just the hits, man. You know, but you gotta do the hits on the to get it work on YouTube. But there's so many good cuts by Marvin Gaye, is one of the greatest of all time. And of course, Knocks Me Off My Feet by Stevie Wonder. I think that's always been my favorite song to sing. I just love that song. It's my Songs in the Key of Life is my favorite album of all time, hands down, top to bottom. Like the one. That's the best album. And Otis Redding. I didn't ever get anything up of Otis Redding, but we play it live. But just love that shit, man. That's the good stuff. That's my favorite stuff to sing. Motown, baby. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love Motown. I love Motown. Goodbye Has Been Good to You. That's probably my favorite on the
Thank
album.
you.
That's such a tune. It's like the way you come straight in. There's a bit of that raw energy from the off, and
Yeah, you gotta have that.
I understand you're going to like a writing session later. Are you always on in that sense, like creatively? You're always looking to try and jot things down, yeah. Or is it more kind of a set process?
I'm always thinking. And even if somebody like says something profound, even next to me, I might pull my phone out and just writing it down. Like, oh, that's genius. We should write that song. You know, I just, yeah. I'm always on it. Like just, and I've been like doing like 3 sessions a day, like just staying with it. Like, it's like I can't stop either. When I was home for the holidays and it's back at home in Atlanta, and I was staying at my bassist's house because he had a studio in there. About 3 or 4 days in, he was just like, all right, man, well, it's the holidays. Like, I don't want to just, like, work all week. And I was like, okay, I mean, I understand that, but you just don't want it as bad as I do. So I'm going to call my buddy Chris and see if I can go over there for a few days and write. And I mean, you know, I was just like, I'm always on go and trying to write and get my feelings out. And I love collaborating with my friends. It's great. Just drinking a bunch of tequila and like writing a song. And you know what I mean? It's like, I could you, and just talking about feelings with your friends. It's like, that's totally my vibe. That's what exactly the.
Hey, it's therapy.
It's my only MO. Like, I have to stay writing all the time. And again, I don't know if that's from just like trying to escape reality or because I'm hungry. I don't know. But nobody's gonna outwork me though, that's for sure.
Well, this is why, yeah, I was speaking to your team before and they were like, this dude doesn't stop. And I was like, I can believe that. Because even like with the social media stuff, it feels like with the new album, but also right from 2019 onwards, you've been really savvy in how you've been able to build up your brand, right? Is that just something that's come naturally to you and your pals? That, or was it just like, you know, you had that first the big hit with Rock With You and you kind of then learnt on the job?
Yeah, that part right there. You just learn on the job, I think. you know, one of my best friends in the world, Julian Seltzer, I went to middle school with me, and he's a producer and a DJ, and he had told me one time, he's like, man, if somebody can ever, like, dresses you for Halloween, then you're an icon, you know, and if you could be recognizable, you know, and I was like, I just took that to heart so bad. Like, I remember when he said that to me, and I was like, yeah, it's like the most profound thing that ever happened to me. And so since then, I've always tried to find a way to make sure I was, you know, like dressable as Halloween. And you could notice and be like, is that Teddy Swims? You know, that's like, and yeah. It's been sick, man. Cause it's like, I've seen people share things or like seen kids come to the shows and be dressed as me. And it's like, really, it's really cool, man. I make that is very important to me to for some reason.
Yeah, that aspect of fame must be a bit weird, right? Like you're getting to a level where people are dressing up as you, and that's a different level.
Yeah, but I love it. I don't think I'm anywhere where I want to be either. I want the whole thing, so I love it, man. And you know, I know it's a positive thing that I'm putting out good things in the world. So you know,
yeah,
I'm not a bad role model. You know what I mean? I would take care of you, you know? So I think it's so important to just have something good to say. If you're going to say anything at all, you know, just make sure to say something good. And I feel like there's so many people that are doing this job that aren't saying anything at all, or just doing it for the wrong reasons. And I think it's so important to say something.
I was watching your interview. I think it was with Jennifer Hudson, and there's a comment underneath, and it's the person says, it wasn't a name, it was one of those sort of unique names on the account, but it said, I went to school with this guy. He is exactly who you see, and he is one of the kindest, nicest people you could ever wish to meet. And I was like, yeah, I believe that. I really do believe that.
That's how my dad, I'm just my dad's son, you know, that's it, man. I love people, man. I just grown up being loved. I was very, very... My parents are very affectionate people, you know, and I'm just giving that all the way out, man. Reassurance and hugs, man. I just give you all the hugs and kisses and reassure you all the time and tell you it's okay. You feel the way you're going to feel, because I'm so lucky I had that coming up, and I know how important that is to have that. You know, it's a lot of people don't have that in their life, or have people that are positive in their life or reassuring to them. And I literally need it so bad. I do it for a living, where I just get in front of people and I'm like, please tell me that you also understand my feelings and that I'm okay. You know, it's like what I do for a living. And people are like, yes, us too. You know?
I love that. I really do love that. Very quickly, at the last point, you mentioned about collaborating, I guess more with the boys in the studio and like writing and sipping tequila and all that kind of stuff. But when you get those kind of big duets, like Meghan Trainor, for example, which is pretty awesome. How did those things come about? Is that a case of you like speaking to your manager and saying, oh, I'd love to work with this person? Or is it just like sliding in the DMs? How does it kind of like come about and start out?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like there's, you know, so many avenues to it nowadays, but it's kind of nuts because sometimes you won't really like get a chance to meet this person until the collaboration comes out, you know? But for me and Megan, I was super, super, super lucky because that was very, like, that came from around very organically because she was the two writers she was writing with on that song. She said she went to bed and like played that song for her husband, and then Daryl was immediately like, yo, that's the one, you got to get Teddy Swims on, you know? And she had talked to the writers and I was like, is anybody right with Teddy by chance or no Teddy Swims? And my good friend Rabel, dearest, most amazing writer and singer, and was like, oh yeah, I love Teddy, I'll call him, you know? And he sent me the song. And so when I got to hear the song, I went over to her house and she like engineered me on it too and everything. She's like, she's such a smart, smart lady, man. That lady's, Meghan Trainor is so smart. She engineered me on the whole thing, went and engineered herself while she was like, dude, studio's amazing. And had me over, invited me, and became such a good friends after that, and are still such dear friends and such big fans of one another. That right there was like a real organic one. But yeah, sometimes you get people you collaborate with that maybe send you a song and you do it like back home by yourself. The next thing you know, you're in London and y'all are there together and you actually get to perform the song, you know?
I had a couple of thoughts there. I love the fact that all the people that you've met have lived up to your expectations of being nice people, it seems, which is a really nice thing in itself.
Yeah, I've had one in my life that I think is, she's literally like one of the worst people on the planet. And I won't throw that name out there, you know?
Oh,
I mean?
Dude, you're teasing me. I'd not do it.
I know, but there has been one hero of mine who's a legendary songwriter that I was super excited to work with that was quite just rude and not like it just didn't seem like a good person, you know, and still to this day bugs me. And I'm just like, I always think to myself, if I have to say something negative about you, you're probably the worst person in the world.
I
believe that. You know what I mean? I don't question anybody's character, and I've never just like not got along with someone. So I'm like, you know, it's probably you if I have to say you're just awful. She probably could turn herself.
Maybe she's having a bad day.
I hope so, dude. But for the most part, I'm very blessed that everybody's like been like, see, that's why you're here, because you're wonderful.
I think we all need your energy and your positivity. That would be a better world, right?
I hope so, man. I'm trying to give it to it. Yeah, you know what I mean? I know I'm a blessing for anybody I get in contact with. I know they are one for me too. So I try to have that exchange as much as possible.
So we've got the tour kind of starting again. Got a few dates in the US and then I think over into Europe and then the UK, right?
Yeah, sure. I think in May.
Yeah, is it May? Is it Shepherd's Bush? I think you've got a couple of gigs there in Bristol and all sorts of different locations. It's going to be...
Yeah, all over the place. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. It's getting like, there's a good few shows in London too, which I'm super pumped
about. It's going to be awesome. Dude, thank you so much for doing this. As soon as I found out I was going to be speaking to you, I've been hyped up and... I've already registered to try and get tickets in Bristol, so hopefully I'll be seeing you there too.
Yeah, just tell them to get them for you. You know who's in these other boxes.
Okay,
we'll hook you up, buddy. We'll take care of it, and we'll have a drink and bring whoever you want. Your mom, your dog, your next door neighbor.
I'll bring the clan. I'll bring everyone. Yeah.
All right, I can't wait to hang out.
Take care. Thank you so much, and keep being you, dude.
You know it, baby. You too.
Oh, there we go. Teddy Swims. What a cool dude, honestly. You know, there's many themes that come out of an interview, and with something like that, actually, the first thing that kind of struck me is that he's supremely talented. If you listen to him, you'll know exactly what I mean. He is sensational. There's no other way of putting it. But there was just snippets in that conversation where you really got a sense of somebody that is very driven, really strong work ethic. And that really came through. And I suppose when you think about his meteoric rise, that makes sense. It does. I love the Dave Chappelle story. Imagine post-Grammys, you're on stage with one of your comedy idols who happens to be tattooed on your leg, and you're just performing together. I mean, that is just so surreal. It's unbelievable. And Jonah Hill, if you're listening, dude, if you want to play Teddy Swims in a movie, I'm all for it. But jokes aside, I really enjoyed him reminiscing about his father, giving him permission to pursue his dream, abandon normality, really, pursue his dreams. I thought there was something really special about that. Being in Atlanta, that melting pot of musical talent, and even Miss Berry putting on Al Green. You know, let's be real here. Trying to get 8 or 9 year olds to be quiet in a classroom, that is no mean feat. You know what it takes? Al Green. There you go. And that's clearly what took Teddy's love of music to a whole new level. As you could probably tell, I thoroughly enjoyed that one. That was great. Big thank you to Teddy. His debut album, I've Tried Everything But Therapy. Do go and listen to that. Why not get the LP? They're making a comeback. That'd be a pretty cool memento. And next week, we've got a plot twist first. A naturalist, an explorer, a wildlife presenter, Steve Backshall. The wonderful Steve Backshall. He's brilliant. So intrigued to chat to him. We're going to talk about his Sky documentaries, Whale and Shark. If you love your wildlife and environmental series, you will thoroughly enjoy this. We're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about his plot twists and many other things. He's led a very interesting life in all corners of the globe. We're going to delve into that. And until then, ciao, guys.